Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is gone. Out of here.
No one covers Bay Area baseball better. This is Inside the Bigs with Michael Urban on 95.7 The Game. Now, here's Michael Urban.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome back to Inside the Bigs, Sunday mornings, 9 to noon. I am Michael Urban, 95.7. We talk ball for 3 hours every Sunday from 9 to noon, unless the A's are on the East Coast and they have a 1 p.m. East Coast start, which means they start at 10 here, which means I don't have a show. We used to be on Saturdays, but this week in the NBA is now on Saturdays because the Warriors moved the needle like no other team in the Bay Area, and deservedly so, which is why I threw out the question to A's fans. Now, the initial question was, if I guaranteed you a spot in the playoffs in exchange for a Warriors loss in Game 7, would you take it? Didn't get a whole lot of takers, which forced me to amend the proposition to, I'm giving you an American League championship, which means you are in the World Series, but the Warriors lose Game 7. That switches us up just a little bit. Somebody says, yes, I would absolutely take that deal. Sports are all about entertainment. I love the Warriors for entertaining me all winter and spring, but I would love to keep the good times rolling, keep the good times going by watching the A's roll in the summer and the fall. Okay. And somebody else says, what are you guys even talking about? The A's are pathetic. I have no business even being discussed. Well, we are kind of the home of A's baseball. We kind of do have to talk A's ball, but we also talk Giants. We talk the league at large. We're allowing Warriors and Sharks talk today because they're doing monumentally historic things. If the Warriors win Game 7 tomorrow, it will be the first time since the early 80s that a team's come back from 3-1 down in the conference finals. And that was my Larry Bird Celtics back in the day. And, of course, the Sharks in the Stanley Cup for the first time in their franchise existence. Pretty damn cool time to be a Bay Area sports fan, including a Giants fan. They've won 14 out of 16. Joining us to discuss their torrid stretch of ball is a good friend of the program, Sean Estes. Sean, how you doing, man? What's up?
Herbs. I'm doing well, man. Just head to another youth baseball tournament.
Yeah, I can't get you as frequently as I like to get you because you're always doing something with your kids in baseball. Are you a head coach or do you just focus on the little pitchers?
Well, I focus on the pitch. I don't know. I'm head coach by default. I didn't want to be the head coach. Ended up head coach last year, failed on us. And then so Lee Tinsley, who had some big league time, was the assistant hitting coach for the Reds for the past couple years. He's got some free time now without a job, so he's helping me out. So we got some knowledge out there. Does it translate onto the field? Not all the time, but we're doing our best.
Hey, you can lead a horse to water. You can't make him drink. We're talking with Sean Estes here inside the Bigs. You can follow him on Twitter at SEstes55. Sean, one of the rules on the show is if a caller calls in and is so good, so impressive to the producer, we stop what we're doing and put them on the air. Do you mind if I put this caller on the air? Supposedly they're fantastic.
Bring him in.
All right, let's go. Mowat in Alameda is responding to the question, if I offered you an A's American League championship in exchange for a Game 7 loss by the Warriors, would you take it? Mo, what do you say?
If you take that, I literally want whatever it is that you're smoking. Because you are trading history. We're talking an actual record being broken, solidifying yourself as the best team ever for a World Series possibility. I mean, come on. I know the A's. I'm a huge A's fan. Don't get me wrong. But you're taking history away for a coin flip? Nah, I'm cool.
All right. Thanks for the phone call, Mowat. I appreciate it. I'm going to challenge your A's fandom then. Because if you're truly a diehard A's fan, you're taking that berth in the World Series over the Warriors Game 7. Sean, sorry for the digression, but that's just one.
Hey, can I add to that?
Sure.
Does that guarantee the Warriors win the championship? No.
Nope. It's just winning Game 7 tomorrow.
just winning game seven. Mm-hmm. So, like you said, I mean, I think that the odds are definitely stacked up against the A's to even make the playoffs. So if you are a true A's fan, you take that. You take the championship. You take the AL, what'd you say, an AL championship to get to the World Series?
Yep.
Yeah. You gotta take it.
Okay.
There's no guarantees. There's no guarantees the Warriors win game seven that they even win a championship. And then this season's, I mean, obviously it's a magical season, but, you know, they didn't finish the deal.
Yeah, I hear you. We're talking with Sean Estes here inside the Bigs. He does analyst work for CSN Bay Area. I got to know Sean while I was at CSN Bay Area. Good dude, good baseball guy, knows pitching back and forth, upside, outside, inside out. Sean, I've got another A's-related question for you, because one of the few highlights so far this season has been Rich Hill. Have you gotten a chance to watch much of him? And is, you know, I questioned the signing because they threw a pretty good chunk of change at him based on four starts last season. He's been fantastic this year. Did you think he was going to be able to do that? Were you among those of us who kind of raised our eyebrows when the A's threw some good coin at him?
Yeah, I was. I mean, based on the fact that he was 36, 37 years old,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, he went through some injuries, you know, hasn't had that 1 year where you can kind of, as an evaluator, say, well, you know, he can get back to that. You know, he hasn't had that one big year. So, yeah, for sure I was. But I think based on the scouting, you know, which they definitely did the due diligence on that, because he finished the season really strong last year in the starts that he did make, they saw something that they really liked out of Rich Hill. And he hasn't disappointed one bit. I mean, he's probably right now considered top four pitcher in the American League.
Yeah,
he's now even a Cy Young candidate.
He's right up there with the ERA leaders. I think he's sixth in the league in ERA. It's a sub-3 for sure, sub-2.5 even.
Yeah, so, I mean, they hit the jackpot on this one. Hopefully he can continue to pitch this well throughout the season. I mean, obviously, you know, when you get older, you know, you always consider the health an issue. So hopefully he can make 33, 34 starts and put himself into that talk.
Give me the odds of him being in green and gold the entire season.
The odds, geez, I don't know. Not good.
I get. Yeah. That's the most succinct answer you've ever given me, Sean. Thank you.
Not good. I just don't see the A's. I think them. I think they'll probably spin their wheels for a while here, and he'd be a perfect guy to trade to a contender come July.
Hey, Sean, you pitch in the big leagues. You obviously know the game very, very well. I try to educate fans that maybe don't have that type of in-depth knowledge, especially when it comes to pitching. Rich Hill, staying with the A's, has a phenomenal noon to six curveball. I mean, that really is the key to his success. And one thing that you hear often from hitters when they're talking about guys with great curveballs, I heard it with Zito all the time too, is that even if they're not hard throwers, that curveball adds about, you know, metaphorically 5 miles an hour to their fastball, because you always hear hitters say, well, you have to honor the curveball, which starts up high, so you have, it puts your eyes there, and then when you could swing right through an 89 mile an hour fastball at the same eye level because you have to honor the curve. Can you make that make sense for the fans? Because I don't quite get it. I get it that the curveball starts up high, but it would seem to me a big league hitter would be able to identify a fastball coming in high as opposed to a curveball that's starting, that it's high at its apex.
Well, okay, so if a guy throws 90 plus, you know, even 88 to 92, all right, I think the harder you throw your fastball, obviously the more harder it is to lay off of the high fastball when you have a good curveball, because you have to not cheat for the fastball, but you have to get ready for it. Now, if you have a huge disparity between your fastball velocity and your curveball velocity, and you have a big over-the-top curveball like Hill does, like Zito did, you can't pick, and it does, you can't pick up spin, because a lot of times really tight curveballs that have a lot of depth, well, the six, they don't, you can't pick up spin until it's too late. So you have to respect the fastball, you have to sit on fastball, and then you see, and then you also got to, if you throw a breaking ball before that. So you're saying to yourself, okay, lay off the high, lay off anything up. All right, so you lay off the curveball up, and then it drops into the zone for a strike. So now you see that level. It comes in. You're thinking, I don't know if it's a curveball or fastball or not. I got to get ready just in case it is a fastball. And then you're late on it because it's by you at 92 miles an hour or 90 miles an hour, whatever it might be. So you've already committed to that pitch. So that's, to me, that's what's the beauty of a curveball, a big curveball, is that is the it's the speed differential and it's the eye level. Because pitching is all about changing eye level and changing speed. So you have both of those in one pitch. Now, as far as the pitcher goes, you have to prove to the hitter that you can throw it for a strike, or it does you no good. So if the hitter does, the hitter can sit fastball. Right, you do throw a curveball, but they can pick up spin late, and they know that you're not throwing it for a strike. They're just going to spit on it, and they're going to look for something down in the zone. But if you can prove to the hitter that you can throw it for a strike and change eye level with it, then you got them beat right there. They get caught in between a lot of times. You talk to hitters about I was caught in between because the curveball 72 and the fastball is 92. That's 20 miles an hour differential. So you get caught in between, especially if you can go back and forth. That's why changeup's so huge, too. A guy that can take a lot off of his changeup looks like a fastball. They don't see it until late. They already committed to a fastball, and then they swing through the changeup. So, if you can throw it for a strike and you got a good fastball to go with it, and that's why Zito was so effective, I believe, earlier in his career, and, even at times later in his career, is that, he threw he could throw 91. And then throw that big breaking ball off of that. So Rich Hill's got that going right now, and that's what's going to be, for me, that's the key to him. He raised his arm angle, from a couple years ago. He dropped down a little bit. Now he's back up top where you get that, you get that better angle with the curveball. He's back to throwing. He's back to fastball, curveball guys. So he's reinvented himself or went back to what worked for him early on in his career, and he's rolling with it.
See, that was more a classic Sean Estes answer. That was 3 minutes and 47 seconds. Well done, sir. We're running out of time. I got one more for you, though. We haven't really talked Giants baseball at all. Matt Cain finally got it going, and then he goes on the DL. So you're like, damn, we need at least one other dude other than the big three to get some work done for us. And then here comes Jake Peavy with his best start of May, certainly, and his best start since, I believe, mid-April he got into the seventh inning. Did you see that start, and what did you see that was so dramatically different than what's had him getting cuffed around in most outings?
Yeah, well, back to what you said about Kane, I think that's exactly the word that I said when I saw him walk off the field was, damn. I mean, the injury bug that hit him the last couple of years, and then he's got it rolling the last three starts and was throwing well the other day, and then all of a sudden, boom, back on the DL. But for Peavy, for him, it's pretty simple. I mean, stuff-wise, he's never going to be 92, 93, 94 with his fastball, so he's got to locate the slider. I think the curveball is a big pitch for him when you keep it down in the zone. To me, it's all about, staying away from the belt high pitch, regardless of what it is. Regardless if it's the slider, the curveball, the fastball, the cutter, the changeup. It's about staying down in the zone and having good late life to your pitches. So he was able to do that. He was able to stay out of the middle of the plate belt high. And when you can hit corners, hit spots, and you can make the appearance of a pitch coming in look good to the hitter where they have to commit to it, and then it has good late life to it, good finish. That's where he's going to have success. But if he keeps making mistakes up in the zone with any pitch, and I'm not just saying the fastball, I'm talking cutter, slider, change, curve. Yeah, it's going to get whacked. It's just a lot more hittable. It's a lot more hittable, and so he just did a lot better job of locating those pitches.
Yeah,
whatever it is, if it's a mechanical thing or what with him, because he knows how to repeat his delivery. He's been around long enough to know how to make a quick fix within game, mode. But sometimes it's a physical thing. You don't feel as good that start, and if you have a tougher time, hitting your spots. But he had it going last start.
Yeah, if they can get him going, string together a few good starts in a row to complement what the big three are doing, it doesn't matter whether Matt Cain stays out for long. If you just got four of those five guys clicking with the offensive potential that the Giants have, they may very well run away with the NL West. Sean, we've run out of time. I appreciate your time. Hope you enjoy the rest of your holiday weekend.
Okay, Herb. Thanks, bud.
All right, that's Sean Estes. You can follow him on Twitter at SEstes55. Because we had so many great texts on the PenskeAutoSales.com text line 95795, and so many good calls, 888-957-9570, we weren't able to do good for ball, bad for ball when it was scheduled. We will do it in the next segment, unless, of course, the callers and texters take over yet again. I'm Michael Urban. This is Inside the Bigs on 95.7 The Game. Mixmaster West with a head fake. brings in a little switch by Will Smith, and then bam, turns the page, flips the script. George Clinton, Atomic Dog. Hey, diehard A's fans, welcome back to Inside the Bigs. Welcome to the Giants fans and fans of all other Major League Baseball teams. That's what we talk about here for 3 hours on Sunday mornings, 9 to noon. We're the radio home of the A's. We talk Giants when it's appropriate, and it certainly is. Today, they've won 14 of 16. They've opened up a 4.5 game lead on the Dodgers. And if Buster Posey truly is back as an offensive force, which is what was suggested yesterday when he went deep twice, boy, the Giants have a shot at running away with this thing. Just when Matt Cain gets back on track, he gets hurt. We've seen that before, but just when Matt Cain gets hurt, Jake Peavy gets back on track for at least one day. That's just the way the Giants are rolling in the month of May. The A's, not so much. They've played 25 games thus far this month. They have lost 17 of them. One of their 8 wins, however, came yesterday. Jesse Hahn, the first guy not named Rich Hill to give them a good start in a long, long time. It was technically, by definition, a quality start, 6 innings, 3 runs. That's still a 4.5 ERA. But, hey, that's a phenomenal start for the A's staff, unfortunately, these days, which led me to my question of the day. And this is to diehard A's fans. And I mean diehard A's fans. And we'll find out what kind of diehard you are. The initial question was, if I guaranteed you a playoff spot for the A's, but it came at the expense of the Warriors losing Game 7, would you take it? I amended the question to make it, you know, look, the easy response for A's fans was, no, I can't take that because the A's always choke in the first round and I don't want just a one-game wild card. So now I have amended the question. What if I guarantee you a spot in the World Series? That means I'm guaranteeing A's fans that you win the American League Championship, but the Warriors got to lose Game 7. Do you take it? Somebody in the 650 says, I would take the Warriors not being in the championship to see AAA Nashville win the World Series. That's actually not possible. The 408 says, the A's in the World Series, hands down. The Warriors will battle for it the next 3 years minimum. Go Raiders. Okay, fine. The 510, someone else, Trevor in Oakland, says, I'll take it for a wild card game without blinking. Wow, Trevor will take just a spot in the wild card. That means he's not really a big Warriors fan at all. Or he's just an incredibly diehard A's fan. That's fine. Let's see what Don in Fairfield thinks. Don has been very patient. Don is now on Inside the Bigs. What's up, Don?
Hey, things are good. Thanks for having me on here. My answer is absolutely not. Never would I make that trade. You have to celebrate excellence. Now, I'm not a diehard A's fan, but I am a diehard Dodger fan, and I wouldn't trade it for a Lakers shot there. Why? Because they don't deserve it. They didn't deserve it. The Warriors deserve this. In fact, go a little farther. Oklahoma deserves it. They're tied 3-all. All seventh game is a coin toss. Mm-hmm. They're evenly matched.
Oh, there's no doubt they're evenly matched. But you say that, so your suggestion is that the A's have not deserved a chance to play for a title.
Well, they don't this year.
Yeah, they're tough to watch this year. They are tough to watch.
People that get to the playoffs deserve the shot. I don't think that's anything that should be handed to somebody. People deserve the playoffs when they earn it there. And those are the people that need to play in it.
All right, Don, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your holiday weekend. Yeah, look, we're not sugarcoating it here. The A's are a tough watch these days. But they're never a tough listen. 95-7 the game. Look, they got great broadcast. Whether or not they're a great team or even a good team, they have good to great broadcasters. One of them is Vince Catronio. He's going to join us at 10:30. You can follow him on Twitter at Vince Baseball. Again, A's fans, I'm offering you an American League championship, a spot in the World Series, but the Warriors got to lose in Game 7. I would imagine for people that live in and around Oakland, that's kind of a tough call if you're a diehard A's fan. I said that we were going to get to it, and we are. Good for ball, bad for ball. Everything in life can be labeled one of two ways. For instance, chocolate-covered graham crackers. Good for ball. Just good for ball. Right? You can buy them at Starbucks. Starbucks this week, and I got it. There's steam coming out of my ears right now every time I get going on this. Once again, I have been told by a barista at Starbucks, can you wait? It'll be ready in about 5 minutes. We ran out of coffee. Come on. That's so bad for ball. It's ridiculous. It's happening way too often. But everything in life can be labeled one of two ways. If you'd like to play along, 888-957-9570. So let's get it on. Good for ball or bad for ball. I mentioned that Jenny Finch, you know her, right? She's a blonde. Some would say she's a hottie. We don't go there here. Or did we just do that? Anyway, she's a pulchritudinous young lass. Look it up, kids. Look it up. That's a good word. She is going to manage a team in the independent leagues, baseball. Jenny Finch is, she made her bones as a softball player, one of the most dominant softball pitchers of all time, maybe the most dominant. But because she is easy to look at, she's gotten a lot of attention away from the diamond and gotten a lot of opportunities that, she wouldn't have gotten if she was 5'10", 250. She's not. She's going to manage a team. Is that good for ball or bad for ball? I struggled with this one, and I'm going to go ahead and say just because it's minor league baseball, it's good for ball. Because everything about minor league baseball is good for ball. I can't think of anything bad about minor league baseball. Can you? I mean, it's just go to a San Jose Giants game. It's cheap. You have immediate access to the players. They get the crowd involved. They have all these crazy promotions in between innings. Everything about the minor leagues is good for ball. So Jenny Finch, you know, whatever. It's a publicity stunt, but still good for ball because the minor leagues are involved. Not so good for ball, and this has been building for a while. Look, the Toronto Blue Jays are a lot of fun to watch, right? Their lineup is stacked. Their playoff run last year was a lot of fun to watch. Even the Jose Bautista bat flip. I had no problem with it whatsoever. But it's now reached a point of critical mass. They are pissing off every team in the league. They literally have bad blood with a third of the teams in the American League. And why? Because they're arrogant. Now, it's fine to be really good and kind of have some swag, like the Warriors. Warriors got swag, but they don't beat you. They don't tell you how good they are. You can just tell they know how good they are. The Blue Jays kind of tell you how good they are. And that's why everybody dislikes him. And it's tough because I love me some Josh Donaldson. He's part of it there. He's one of those guys that takes swag just a little bit too far. So Blue Jays, dial it back. Until further notice, you're bad for ball. Also bad for ball. Speaking of Jose Bautista, last year, about this time of the year, I sent out a series of tweets. I'm one of those guys that really amuses himself. If nobody else is laughing at my joke, I guarantee I'll be laughing because I think it's funny. So I sent out a few tweets that I thought hit the mark. And then I see Jose Bautista followed me. And I'm like, wow, I'm an impression on a big leaguer. I'm kind of feeling myself right now. And then I go to his page and I see that he follows like 8 million people. And in fact, Jessica, one of our callers early in the program, she tweeted me and said, thanks for taking my call. I was so nervous. So I clicked on her profile to see just basically what she's all about. And, the first thing I see is followed by Jose Bautista. Come on, Jose. You're cheapening it for all of us. That would be bad for ball. Also bad for ball, anybody using the phrase hot takes. Just knock it off. Just stop it. Hot take, hot take, hot take. What? Stop it. I don't, just the use of the word take. Everything is a take. It's a take. It's a take. Another word for an opinion. Just stop it. Hot takes. You know who I associate with hot takes? Skip Bayless, Stephen A. Smith, which means they're not hot at all. They're fabricated, which by its very nature, bad for ball. Good for ball, one last good for ball. My boy, me and him are tight, really tight. Billy Butler, Country Breakfast. You know how he and I get along. I love me some Billy Butler. He is awesome. So great in the clubhouse. So great in the batter's box. He hit his first home run of the year. Good for ball, Billy Butler. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Vince Catronio, who's one of the voices of A's Baseball. You can follow him on Twitter at Vince Baseball. He's up next. I'm Michael Urban. This is Inside the Bigs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the return of the wild style fashion. It's smashing hits, make it hard to adapt to this. Put pizzazz and jazz in this. The cash in this. Master this. Blast this and make a clap to this. DJs throw on cuts and obey the crowd. Just pump the volume up and play it loud. Hip hop's embedded. Before I said I wouldn't let it. But me and the microphone is still magnetic. Straight off the top.
Welcome back to Inside the Bigs. I'm Michael Urban. Every Sunday morning, most Sunday mornings, I'll be right here 9 to noon talking ball on 95.7 The Game. We're the radio home of A's Baseball. We're downtown San Francisco. Our studios are anyway. And we talk about the Giants as well, especially when they're on fire like they are now. But the A's won yesterday. Hey, that's only happened seven other times in May. And because we do love us some A's, we love the broadcast team, of course, because we're the radio home. One of those voices is Vince Contronio. He's the best friend of the program. He joins us now. What's up, Vince? How are you?
Good morning, Michael. How's it going?
It's going really well. I'm throwing out a question to A's fans, and the responses have been fascinating to me. Because I'm allowing Sharks and Warriors talk this morning because what's going on with those respective franchises. Sure. But I throw out to the A's fans, if I were to guarantee you, well, it started out with, if I was to guarantee you a spot in the playoffs, but the Warriors would have to lose Game 7, would you take it? And I kind of got a mixed bag of responses, and then I amended it to, if I were to give you a spot in the World Series, which means an American League championship, would you sacrifice the Warriors season? A lot of A's fans are saying they'd rather see the Warriors win Game 7. It's a little bit sad. Can you pick me up, Vince?
Yeah, I mean, come on. It's been a while around here since the A's have gotten into the World Series, and they've got their four trophies, but sure would like to get, you know, get one for the thumb, as they say, when you get five. So, I'd like to see Game 7, actually, of the World Series. I know people say Game 7 in hockey is probably the most dramatic of the four sports that have, you know, the winner go home type scenario.
Right.
I've never seen a game seven of hockey in person. I've seen some playoff hockey in person back in the day. I've never seen an NBA game in person. I know it's going to be crazy tomorrow night with the Warriors. And when you've won 73 games in the regular season, you better get to the finals. You know, it's just like it has to give some kind of justification for all the work you put in to get to that number. And for the A's, you know, with all that they've gone through, the history of this club has, it's been such a long time. And given what happened, you know, what's happened across the bay with the Giants, yeah, I want Game 7 of the A's. And the Warriors got their title last year. You know, I'm certainly rooting for them. But the team I'm working for, I want to see them enjoy the same kind of discussion around the bay that they're having right now, which is just tremendous and well-earned all the way around for sure.
The voice you hear is that of Vince Contronio. He joins us every Sunday morning. Sometimes it's at 9:30, sometimes it's at 10:30, but it always is at some time during our 3 hours together. You can follow him on Twitter at Vince Baseball. Vince, it's been a rough May for the A's. It started out 1-10. They're now, I believe, 8-17 for the month, but they finally got a quality start by somebody not named Rich Hill yesterday. Jesse Hahn did the trick for him, and also a guy that I've been really tough on this season, Billy Butler, Country Breakfast. He finally bust out with his first home run of the year. The A's win 12-3 over the Tigers. And, you know, the Tigers are no joke. They're a solid club. And Jesse Hahn said, I think maybe this could be the win that, I'm paraphrasing, maybe this can be the win that springboards us to a turnaround. I don't know that I'm going that far just based on, you know, one game. But are there any signs of life that you see, Vince, that you could twist, and maybe not twist, but it could be a harbinger of better times to come?
Well, for me, the story that came out in today's papers about Friday night's players-only meeting, I think speaks volumes. Where that takes the club, I don't know. But I think when you're looking at this team and you're saying, where is the leadership? You've got veteran players on the club, like Reddick, like Butler, like Mattson, like Hill, like Lowry and some others. Who's going to step up and kind of close the doors and let's have this, you know, come together type of discussion where everything's on the table. You're allowed to say what you want and it stays in this room and everybody walks out of the room. You hope is united. And that's the encouraging thing that I took that gives me, you know, semblance of hope that there is some connection inside the A's clubhouse. I know early in the season, it worked very well for the Seattle Mariners. Now, it was very early, but their leadership, you know, with a new manager and a new general manager, they took it upon themselves, Cano and Cruz and Felix, a couple of others, to have their players-only meeting, and they went off. I'm not saying that's necessarily going to happen, but I think if you're an A's fan, you're looking for, you know, where's the level of care? You know, what do you, other than just a bunch of players wearing the A's uniform? And I do think that you saw something like that occur on Friday night. Now, can they play that out? You know, we'll wait and see. I mean, you look at today's game with a chance to win the series. You've got your best pitcher. You're facing a guy that has always struggled against the A's. And then you could say, well, you've got the Twins. They should automatically win. And ho-ho, just the second there. And they've won back-to-back games in Seattle, including beating Felix. So it's still not easy. But I think what you may take away from looking for that thing that gives you some hope is them at least talking about it together and feeling like that there is a common goal inside the clubhouse.
Did you find, we're talking with Vince Catronio here inside the Bigs. Again, you can follow him on Twitter, at Vince Baseball. Anything to read into the fact that the guys that called the meeting, two of the three are new to the team this year? I found that pretty interesting. I don't know exactly what it means, but apparently it was Rich Hill, today's starter. It's the closer, Ryan Madsen, and Coco Crisp, the one guy among that threesome that's been around for a while. Anything to read into the fact that it took a couple of newcomers to call this team meeting?
I think any way that it gets done is all that matters. Madsen, has been in the playoffs, deep in the playoffs, with the Royals, and won a world championship last year. I think you want to hear that voice, and see how his club, came together. Rich Hill is a guy that's having an incredible, first 2 months of the season. It's as good a baseball story as there is in either league, with guys that are like Arrieta and guys like Strasburg, and other guys that are doing great things. I mean, for sure, he was on the scrap heap not once, not twice, but probably three times. So I think when you watch the A's games and you see shots of the clubhouse, you see Rich in conversation with the pitching staff. And I think he just wanted to kind of carry that over, and I think he represented that side of the room. And I'm not discouraged by that at all. I don't really care who called the meeting. I'm just happy that the meeting was called.
Yeah, sometimes you have players-only meetings, and it can get to the point where I remember one of the A's teams I covered, I believe they had six players-only meetings, and at one point, I think it was when Guerin was managing the team, and off the record, Guerin said, you know what, any more than three players-only meetings in a season, you're probably past the point where a players-only meeting is going to turn the season around.
No, I agree. I mean, you can't go to that well. I think no more than twice, to be honest with you.
Right.
I think one's plenty. And sometimes some teams say you don't need any. But, given where this club has been going, what's been happening, and just kind of, I wouldn't say the malaise, but just the frustration of, everybody's talking about the injuries, and every club has injuries, and the A's certainly have had more than their share, and have had it in some very key spots, and they've stretched the limits of their depth. You still got guys that wear major league uniforms, and their responsibility is to play hard and try to get wins. And I think Bob Melvin continues to emphasize that inside the clubhouse, and I think the players needed to prove among themselves that they hear that message, and that's a message that they want to be a part of. So, yeah, I mean, I think what happened on Friday night is encouraging. I don't want to hear about another one next month or the one month after
right.
that. I mean, this is where the club is. There's still plenty of time. It's Memorial Day. It's it's a time where you gut check where your club is, and there's still a lot of time to make something happen. And let's not let this be a situation where we didn't bring it to the forefront to maybe try to take advantage of it and get some unity. And because this club, Michael, we've talked about it, they don't have Cabrera, they don't have Mike Trout, they don't have Jose Abreu, they don't have those kind of carriers on the club. They have to do it together. It doesn't get done. So if they're not together, you might as well just go ahead and mail it in. So the fact that they want to get it together, I think, is an encouraging sign.
One last question for Vince Catronio, one of the voices of A's baseball here at 95.7 The Game. Follow him on Twitter, at Vince Baseball. I mentioned Billy Butler getting off the schneid in terms of the long ball. First home run of the year, he had three RBIs. He only had six RBIs on the season going into yesterday's game. I've been really tough on Billy Butler. He was 2-for-3 yesterday with three RBIs and a home run. Is it way too small of a sample size to think that maybe he's turning things around, or have his at-bats gotten better over the past week plus?
Well, I mean, I think the latter to a certain extent, but the reality is, Michael, the way this lineup or the way this roster is set up, like, he's not going to play today against the right-hander as the DH because the A's have too many DHs. I mean, they've got to play Chris Davis. He has an arm situation that prevents him from throwing right now, so he's got to be in the lineup somewhere. So that prevents, Billy Butler from being at first base. They're not going to play him at first over Alonso in terms of the matchup, number one, and the defense, number two, although I would argue that if you give Billy Butler the same number of at-bats as Alonso, that the offensive numbers would be, right there, if not better than his. But the defense, there's no contest, and we saw it again yesterday. I mean, as much as, Billy had a good day offensively, it was one of those plus-minus games where you're lucky the A's scored 12 because he had a couple of plays that should have been made and have been made this year. So I think the issue for Billy Butler is he's stuck in this role right now, which is part-time player against left-handers, and he has to make the most of it and try to be ready every single opportunity that he has. And that's a lot of pressure for any player, let alone somebody that has the scrutiny that Billy has in terms of looking at his contract and looking at, his body and saying, well, this guy, let's move on from this person, where, in fact, he's had some major league success in the past. It just hasn't had it on any consistent basis with Oakland.
Hey, Vince, we've run out of time here, but I got to ask you, you got a 105 start tomorrow against the Twins on the holiday Monday, and then there's Game 7 at Roracle after that. Do you have enough juice to be able to just make that walk through the tunnel and get into Game 7?
You know what? If I could, I would, but I got a feeling I would probably be, I'd be clamped down and placed in cups, so I'll be like most of the Bay. I'll be at a favorite watering hole. I'll have my favorite social beverage in front of me, and I'll be cheering like everybody.
You're not even going to try to throw out, "Don't you know who I am?"
What if I don't like the answer, Michael? Then where do I go?
Yeah, because if the answer is no, then you kind of lose your juice, whatever you thought you had anyway. Hey, I appreciate your time, as always. Enjoy the rest of your holiday weekend.
You too, Michael. Thanks again.
All right, that's Vince Catronio, best friend of the program. Now, I used to refer to Shooty Babbitt as best friend of the program, but he has, like, he's like the Jamaican family on Saturday Night Live in the 80s. He's got, like, 9 job men, and sometimes it takes him away from us. Vince is never away from us, but Shooty is coming back to us today. He's going to be joining us in the 11 o'clock hour. Coming up next, we do this every week. Killers and kooks. Some people are just out there killing it. That's self-explanatory. Kooks, it's a surfing term. It's for people who are basically masters of jackassery. I don't know that that's proper grammar. I've had a texter call me out for my bad grammar. I'll explain that when we come back to Killers and Kooks next. I'm Michael Urban, Inside the Bigs, 95.7 The Game.
That great goose got the girl feeling loose. Now I'm wishing that I didn't wear these shoes. Like every time I get up on the do, paparazzi put my business in the news.
Welcome back to Inside the Bigs. I'm Michael Urban. Most Sundays here at 95.7 The Game, you can find me 9 to noon talking all things Major League Baseball. We're the radio home of the A's. We talk Giants as well. They're right down the street from our palatial downtown San Francisco studios, and we talk about the league at large. A couple of segments specifically engineered to get kind of national storylines into it. We do good football, bad football. We also do killers and kooks. It's basically the same segment with different names, let's be honest. But we are now about to jump into killers and kooks. All right, killers. Now, this is, look, Chase Utley, Dodgers, Dodgers, Dodgers. Giants fans hate anything that gives Dodgers credit for anything, but Chase Utley is killing it for the Dodgers. He really is. And I thought he was done. First off, I do not like Chase Utley. I've never been a fan of his game. I've always felt like he was a little bit overrated. I'm probably wrong on that front, but he's dead to me because he had a chance to join the Giants, and I really think could have helped get them into the playoffs last year. He decided to go to the rival Dodgers anyway, but the guy is going nuts for the Dodgers this week. So he's on my list of killers, begrudgingly, but still. Daniel Murphy of not the New York Mets, for whom he went bananas in the postseason last year. In his walk year, you would think based on what he did in the postseason, the Mets would say, we got to have him back. No, they didn't bring him back, so he ended up signing with the Nationals. Have you seen what Murphy is hitting? May's almost over. We've got almost 2 months in the books. Murphy's hitting .390. That is not a misprint. I swear I thought it was a misprint. I'm like, nobody's hitting .390 right now. Wouldn't I have heard a lot about that? He's hitting .390. So I haven't heard a lot about it. And the Nationals are one of the kind of, they're one of the young, hot, upcoming teams. You know, last year, they were a disappointment. They didn't go as far as people thought they would go. Bryce Harper is now, in my mind, Bryce Harper's the best player in baseball. You can argue with me all you want and say that Mike Trout is that guy or Manny Machado is that guy. For me, it's Bryce Harper. But Daniel Murphy batting .390 this far into the season, he's absolutely killing it. I'm also going to go, sorry, Giants fans, I'm giving another Dodger love right here. And it ties back to the A's. Bob Guerin, former A's manager, he is now a bench coach for Dave Roberts in Los Angeles for the Dodgers. He went old school this week. You know, Bob's a former catcher. Apparently, the catcher for the Dodgers needed some extra time to get out there. So rather than make the starting pitcher, Coolest Jets. I guess the backup catcher and the bullpen catcher were in the bullpen. Bob Guerin strapped it on and ran out there and warmed up the pitcher. That's good for ball. That puts you on the killer's list. Kooks. Noah Syndergaard. He's walked 1.3 guys every 9 innings this year. And who was it that he drilled? He drilled somebody recently and tried to pass it off as, I didn't hit him on purpose, or he threw behind someone. Spencer, can you help me out with that? He threw behind somebody and tried to deny it. He's going to get himself suspended. But you can't go up there with a 1.3 per 9 innings walk ratio, then throw behind a guy and try to sell me on it just got away. That puts you on the kook list. But have you seen Syndergaard swing the bat? I was talking a few weeks ago about how good as a staff the Giants are in the batter's box. The Mets might be even better. They've got some kids who can swing it. They're fun to watch. That's why I never want to see the National League adopt the designated hitter rule. I like watching pitchers in the box. And having to get down a bunt, even if they're terrible hitters, having to get down a bunt just makes the game more interesting. Anyway, Noah Syndergaard, he's a kook this week for throwing behind a guy and claiming it was unintentional with that great walks per nine innings route, but he can swing the bat just a little bit. Also, one of the kooks, Hector Oliveira, domestic violence. Good for baseball to be taking a stand following the NFL's belated lead. But Hector Oliveira of the Braves, he's in trouble for domestic violence, and of course, that does land you very much on the kooks list. Let's see, Syndergaard. Going back to Syndergaard, he got tossed for throwing behind the guy. So the guy, by the way, Chase Utley. How did I forget that? And he got the hook immediately, and he claimed innocence. He said it was a very quick trigger, maintaining that the pitch had no purpose. I was just kind of dumbfounded. I've never been thrown out of a game before, so it was just kind of a whirlwind of emotions. It kind of rattled me a little bit, the reason I got thrown out. I was kind of at a loss for words. Yeah, nobody else in the world was surprised by that. Ah, he's a kook. You know who else is a kook? Wade Boggs. Never really been into Wade Boggs. Hell of a hitter, obviously. Hall of Fame guy. Very, very good. But as we know, he's played for the Yankees. He's probably more closely associated with the Red Sox, right? But he never won a ring with the Red Sox. He had to go to the Bronx to win a ring. So he's got a Yankees World Series ring, but more closely tied to the Boston Red Sox, which means, as it does for most retired guys who are most closely associated with one club, whenever they have something of ceremony, a lot of times when they're not having a very good year and they want to distract their fans, they bring back some of the all-time greats. The Red Sox had an occasion to bring back some of their all-time greats, including Wade Boggs. So Wade Boggs takes the field at Fenway Park. Guess what he's wearing? His Yankees World Series ring. Oh! That gets you on the kook list, Wade Boggs. What are you doing? You know, where your Yankees... I mean, if it was a Marlins World Series ring or a White Sox World Series, any other team, we may have let it pass. But because it's the Yankees World Series ring, that makes it doubly bad for ball. And yes, I know we're mixing, you know, the segments here, but they're very common segments, very similar segments. Also, this from Noah Syndergaard on Twitter. Remember, he got tossed, and now, having been tossed early in the game, he says, I'm fresh, I'm available from the pen, I'm just saying. Okay, I've had about enough of Noah Syndergaard for the week, so that's going to be that. By the way, when we come back, we'll read a few more of the texts that we've gotten, because the offer that I threw out to A's fans, I will guarantee you a spot in the World Series, which means I'm guaranteeing you an American League pennant. You're going to get an American League pennant, guaranteed. But it means the Warriors are going to lose Game 7. The results have been very mixed, and some of them have been actually very entertaining. Next segment, we're going to be talking with another one of our great guests. Roger Lodge joins us on occasion. He's associated with the Angels, but he's just a funny guy. We always enjoy having him. So Roger Lodge is next. I'm Michael Urban. This is Inside the Bigs, 95.7 The Game.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.